Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm going to talk about this at the risk of just feeling like I'm piling on. It's frustrating because I'd much rather be talking about, as you can well tell by the lineup, the incredible things that are going on in the city of New Orleans. I love this place. I just want it to succeed so bad in so many different ways. And every time I feel like we take a step forward, there's another breaking story of steps backwards. And sometimes it's not even the main thrust of the story, which is the most compelling and most problematic for me and most disappointing for me. And today's story is a good example of that. And, you know, in the overall scheme of things, it's not the most important issue in the world, but it's emblematic of our inability to get our hands around running city government like a business. And the headlines, NOLA.com, Joni Hess was a staff writer who wrote the story. New Orleans court officials search landfill for records tossed by City Hall, according to the clerk. The clerk of court, and that's what he says. How does this happen? There are records and there are retention policies that have to be had relative to public records. And in the private sector, certain activities, there are laws about maintenance of records and things of that nature as well. If you're publicly traded, all kinds of different atmospheres where that occurs. We have a problem with space. And obviously, it's probably not a new problem. I'm sure Mr. Lombard, who's there now, Darren Lombard, he probably inherited this problem. And no one has really paid attention to it. And it's not ever going to go away. And you can't kick the can down the road because every year you're generating more and more records. And the least amount of time that you have to maintain public records is 3 years. So you can tell that it's exponentially building on itself, right? But this is a classic example of no one, whether it be the clerk or other agencies, they're all struggling as it relates to their records retention policy and how they're going to go about handling this stuff, whether or not they're automating this process at all, whether or not they're digitizing documents and keeping them in some other fashion, in a cloud, whether or not they have backup provisions of their operating systems to a third party, the cloud or otherwise, so that when things like this happen, human error, you're able to recreate the record. Because the record could be very important to people at different points in time. And in the criminal court arena, very important. Capital cases, other cases, new evidence comes about, manipulation of evidence, maybe police corruption, witnesses lying, all kinds of different reasons that you have to maintain these records, right? But here we now are scouring a public landfill to try and find records because we're allowing other agencies to take control of our documents, meaning the clerks, with the hope that they're going to do the right thing. With the hope that these records will not be destroyed by moisture, mildew, or whatever. A lot of these records are not being stored in climatized areas. My office was guilty of the same thing, and we set out to cure that problem. And it's not an easy task, but it's something that you have to do. It's not of the highest priority, but again, until you're looking for records that come up in the case of litigation or otherwise, you recognize, hey, this is not smart what we're doing. we have to do something else. We have to pay more attention to it. We have to focus on it. We have to make it a priority. What's interesting here, in light of some of the other things that this city decides to involve itself in, they are not paying attention to the day-to-day task that any business entity must pay attention to. It's all about these priorities. I keep saying it, and we keep involving ourselves in ideological warfare issues, social issues that are way beyond the capabilities of this city to manage. We've got a mayor flying around the world going to climate conferences, and we can't retain a record in an appropriate fashion. This is the kind of crap that just drives you absolutely bonkers crazy. When we talk about the wasteful spending, the waste of time in debating and arguing topics that are simply of no moment to the city of New Orleans because they cannot get the basic functions right on any given day. It's a joke. And it continues to reveal itself in so many different ways. What's interesting about this is that in part of this story, right, there's an observation. It's a one-sentence paragraph talking about the Public Works Director, Rick Hathaway. Rick Hathaway's staff, and I'll read the paragraph. Hathaway's staff members, including those in charge of repairing traffic lights, have been working in dilapidated FEMA trailers while their building sits still, damaged from Hurricane Katrina, is what he told WDSU. We're going to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina on August the 29th. And the Public Works Director's staff is still working out of FEMA trailers. And their building has not been repaired. Do you have the same feeling that I have? That heads should be rolling? What are we doing? We're focused on a municipal ID. Our own employees are still working out of FEMA trailers for almost 20 years. Is anybody paying attention to anything that's going on in this city?
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
I mean, this is an absolute joke. And they talk about how they're having problems hiring people and employee retention. When you read one little paragraph like this in the body of a story about something entirely different, and then Darren Lombard, the clerk, is asking for an investigation into the catastrophic failure of removing these records and sending them to the dump, why don't we add to that an audit of our buildings and what these people are working in? I mean, I don't know how this mayor, this staff, or anybody puts their head on the pillow at night knowing they still haven't resolved an issue that's 20 years old when it comes to housing their employees that are still working out of FEMA trailers. How can this be? This is not rocket science. We can't maintain any of our buildings. We can't even build a, or modify a building for people in the aftermath of a storm. What happens if there's another one? We have to go another 20 years if they're displaced? God forbid. Of course, it might be easier just to replace the trailer. I don't know who is setting the priorities and who's focusing on what, when, why, and how. We always want to make the easy decisions. Oh, we'll give a pay raise, 5% across the board. Great. But what about the basic functions? What about being able to retain records? What about, you know, being able to repair buildings? What about having elevators work, getting people out of trailers 20 years after a storm? And again, we wonder why we can't hire anybody to go to work there. I mean, this is absolute craziness. We should not involve ourselves in anything else until we can get the basic functions of government and what we have to provide as a business entity to the taxpaying citizens of this city complete and done. Let's close a chapter on Katrina. Why don't we just start there? A 20-year-ago disaster. Before we talk about financing any new programs, any new social issues, any ideological bullshit that we're talking about each and every day, being the chameleon, trying to be all things to all people, and we cannot deliver the basic services that are required of a government. It's an absolute joke. And I will remind you again, these are the questions that we have to be asking these candidates that have put themselves up for mayor. How do you explain this away? How would you allow this to exist? Why does this exist? Who's responsible and who has failed to set the priorities, to make sure that there's an adequate capital budget, to be able to deal with these issues? And I don't think that it's too much to ask that in 20 years post-disaster that this would have been taken care of. That this would have been taken care of. This mayor has been a complete disaster. We're worried about sister cities in France. And we still have our public works employees working out of a FEMA trailer. I mean, this is, I don't even know how to describe this. Why that would be the priority. Sister cities, climate conferences, black mayor convention. Wait, why is any of that important? Important to who? What did you bring back? A municipal ID? Great. What a win. Awesome. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're sending records to the dump. I mean, where and how and when does this end? How do we bring about an end to this? Is this so embedded in the culture of this city that we just not going to be able to pull ourselves out of this sinkhole, so to speak? Which brings me to another point that's buried in this story. The clerk has a desire to use the old community correctional center on Gravier Street that has sat vacant, by the way, since Katrina, as a building that we should be using for document storage. Well, they may sound good at first blush, but how about a feasibility study? How about an assessment as to whether or not this makes sense? How about understanding whether or not the HVAC systems and everything else there, how are they designed? Can we condition some floors, not have to fully condition other floors that are not in use? Or do we have to bring all of the systems up for the entire building and only utilize a third of it, whether or not that's efficient or not? Because one thing for sure is climatized storage is an art. There's a science behind it. Keeping operational costs down as low as possible. So what may sound like a great idea, we got this vacant building. It was born a prison. It was raised as a prison, and now we'll convert it to a document storage facility. It's not that easy. Maybe they've done one. I don't know. If they did, I'll eat my words. I doubt it, though. I doubt it. And we're going to be off and running, and we're looking for the path of least resistance. Ah, there's a vacant building there. Okay. Does that make it the answer? I doubt it. Who's going to manage it? Who's going to run it as though it's an archive agency where you can easily retrieve these documents, handle this, handle that? Who's doing all of that? There's no thought process going into this. It may be a solution in the end, but we don't know. But we're off and running, probably because the building is one block away from the clerk's office and is close to the complex, and you know, all of that seems to make sense, but we're not going to do anything about the building. We don't know what the costs are going to be. We probably don't know what the status of the building is totally. So it may not be a viable option. Again, because every agency of city government, every independent elected political office in the city of New Orleans has a desire to store records somewhere. It would make perfect sense to set up a consolidated location warehousing space to do so, to share the cost. Not to just have the city. I don't know. I think the clerk is responsible for the store of their records. I may be wrong, and if I am, I'll eat my words. But if not, they should be sharing the costs. It should be a cost share arrangement across all of these agencies to do so. And to digitize these records in such a fashion to gain some efficiencies, to be able to more easily comply with the public records requests that every one of these agencies are faced with every day. And that's why there has to be an ease of administration in order to retrieve these records. But that takes time. That takes a thought process. We're not going to do that. I can tell you right now, it ain't happening. That's why it's important to ask these questions of these candidates and listen very closely to their answers. Because a lot of what they're saying, in the little bit that I've been looking at, does not make a whole lot of sense. They had done their homework. It's all about a couple of sound bites. So I'll finish on a sound bite. Can we please close the books in repairing post-Katrina damage? Sooner rather than later. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.